You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers as always. My name's Tony East. I cover the team for Forbes and the Westside Community News, and today going to do starting a series that we're going to be doing often in the month of August. I think we'll do four of these this month. What if one per week, looking back at a key event in Pacer history, and by that I mean mostly recent Pacer history so that I can be old enough to remember it and contextualize it and actually talk about it, and talk about what Pacer history could have changed or how things could have gone differently had that event gone differently or more favorably for the Pacers. And it's not fun to do these in the non-favorable way, or else this would be a stupid activity. Today we'll be doing, what if the Pacers did not trade away Kawhi Leonard on draft night in 2011? A lot of people's favorite, or however you want to think about it, least favorite, what if in the last decade or so of this franchise. And I think it's interesting. And this is why you have to do these in the positive way, right? Because it'd be very boring to get up here and go, oh, well, he wouldn't have turned into the Kawhi Leonard that we all know today, and it would have been a silly exercise. We're going to run through probably over a half decade of what could have changed for the Pacers had they, instead of trading away Kawhi Leonard, kept him with the team and infrastructure already in place and tried to go from there. So I think a key part of this exercise is talking about what actually happened and why it happened the way it actually did before we can pivot and say, well, how would it have happened differently if they didn't do this? Because if you just dive in and say, oh, they, you know, what would have happened if they didn't do this trade? You would miss a lot of context and team situational stuff that was vital to the situation of this team. So a key thing to note off the bat here, Kawhi Leonard was drafted for the Spurs with the 15th pick that year, not for the Pacers. The Pacers probably would not have actually picked Kawhi Leonard with pick 15 that year if they ended up keeping the pick. They'd already agreed to the deal to get George Hill using their first and second round picks. So Kawhi Leonard was a pick for San Antonio at the time. Unlikely that the Pacers, who that season ended up starting on the wings David West, Paul George and Danny Granger, would have added in another forward into that mix, especially with Lance Stephenson coming off the bench, with George Hill coming off the bench for that team. You know, they would not have drafted that way, I don't think. I bet they would have drafted either a backup point guard, which they acquired Hill to be, or a different big to fill in off the bench instead of the guys they had that year who were very underwhelming. We'll talk about that. The other key thing to note here, this is not actually a part of the what-if exercise. It is more just me rambling about something I don't like about the review of trades in retrospect. Some people will say, oh, the Oladipo trade was great because it worked out awesome for the Pacers. You know, they did a great job trading Paul George for two talented players. But then they'll also say, oh, the Kawhi Leonard trade was fine because at the time it made sense for the Pacers. I don't think it's fair to evaluate some trades at the time and some trades by their result. Now, obviously, context is important in all these things, but you know, if you view trades as what the end result was years later, the Kawhi trade was a disaster. And we could talk about that a little on this episode. And if you view trades via context, then the Oladipo trade at the time was not a good one, even though it worked out getting two multi-time All-Stars for Paul George. Anywho, on that ending tangent note, the full details of that trade at the time were the 15th pick, Kawhi Leonard, and I think 42nd pick, Davis Bertans, to San Antonio for George Hill. And Larry Bird was the Pacers' decision maker at the time, who was in charge of doing that. And something he had noted before the draft that year that he wanted on that team is a connecting piece and a point guard for the second unit and another scorer on this roster. And they thought George Hill could be both of those things. He had come off of 3 years in San Antonio, a little over 12 points per game over the last two seasons, was shooting well from three for a Spurs team that was, you know, pushing to be a championship contender at the time. Good player from Indy. Larry Bird was all over it. You know, his exact quotes at the time in the press release that I had to dig out of a time machine was, "We're very pleased to get a player that's got some NBA experience like George does. We've been after him for a while, and San Antonio always told us they didn't have any interest in trading him. Today, I guess they thought it was the right time." So the Pacers end up dealing for Hill after years of trying. And, you know, that second unit upgrade is a key part of this. Darren Collison, funnily enough, who came back to the Pacers years later, was the starter still that first year George Hill was on that team, the 2011-12 team. But their backup guards, they had like A.J. Price in there and a second or third year Lance Stevenson, and Barboso was sort of a guard back then. But they didn't really have like a floor general type to run that second unit. And that was the motivation. And the thought being, he was only 24 years old at the time the deal was made. He turned 25 during the season. The thought at that time was, okay, this guy can, you know, turn into the point guard of the future, because Collison didn't have a lot of time left on his contract. He ultimately was traded for Mahinmi, or part of a Mahinmi trade a year later. A lot of ripple effects there. But, you know, they wanted that second unit upgrade, and so they did this deal. And so if you think about it in that regard, and that 2011-12 team with Collison was still pretty good. You know, they smoked them. They went 42-24 in that lockout-shortened season. Blew the doors off the Magic in the first round, and they lost to the Heatles in the inaugural year of the Heatles. We'll talk a lot about the Heat today. But they actually did okay. I don't want to claim that that series was a good Heat series. If you'll recall back on it, though, given the expectations of the Pacers, who were mostly a young team at this time, by the way, to add more and more context to this, because that's just how we're doing this. Like, this team that took the Heat to six games in 2011-2012, the first year after that trade, where they had George Hill. Paul George turned 22 during the season, right? Taylor Hainsborough was still relatively young at the time. Hibbert was only 25. Darren Collison was only 24. Lance was only 21, right? They had a lot of sub-30-year-old pieces that the idea was pretty obvious that that team could grow into more. Adding another young piece may have obviously been helpful long-term, and we'll talk about those ramifications down the stretch of this. But they were really ready to kind of take that step forward after, you know, making the playoffs the year before. Even though they weren't awesome that year, you know, they had Danny Granger, who was clearly still awesome. Darren Collison was an ascending 23-year-old. It looked like they had something with this George kid that they picked in the lottery the year before. You know, they had the stuff to get good pieces, and that's why they dealt the 15th pick. That's another factor in why they dealt the 15th pick and why they went after a guy like David West, an ex-All-Star, who also helped them ascend from that, you know, fringe 7-8 seed up to, okay, wow, this team's really good and can make it to late enough in the playoffs where they're fighting the Heatles every year. So that is why they traded away Kawhi Leonard. And the other final factor is, this isn't really related to the Pacers team, but no one knew Kawhi would be this good. I mean, there was a lot of talk about him getting picked pretty high in that draft, like in the top 10, but no one thought Kawhi Leonard would, you know, be this good at the time. There's a reason he fell to 15 and went after like the Morris twins and Jimmer Fredette and a bunch of guys who, obviously, now in retrospect, Kawhi should have gone ahead of all of them. He could have been the number one pick that year, honestly. But, you know, there's a reason he fell to 15. Nobody thought he would be this good, Pacers included. And they, again, had Danny Granger, had Paul George. And, in that, you know, maybe they knew at the time, the tampering was a little different back then, but maybe knew they had a pretty good shot at David West. Like, their forwards and guards were pretty filled out, whereas their second unit floor general, their guard rotation in general, was not as solidified. Larry Bird, not as much of a draft guy. there were a lot of contextual reasons that this made a lot of sense for the Pacers at the time, even though Kawhi Leonard really would have helped this team. And that's where we'll go next. How would the Pacers have looked different if they had kept Kawhi? And then in segment three, some ripple effects for some other key players in Pacer history, like David West, like Lance Stevenson, like Paul George, that probably would have had their careers significantly changed, even maybe Danny Granger, had this trade not ended up happening. Let's talk about that and what the mid-2010s could have looked like on a Kawhi Leonard-infused Pacers team that doesn't have George Hill. Before we do that, though, I want to talk to you guys about Built Bar, who are making the best-tasting protein bars ever. They're basically candy bars, but they're protein bars. Healthy candy bars, 100% covered in chocolate, soft, delicious, easy to chew protein bars that come in a ton of delicious flavors. And they wouldn't just be a product worth talking about if they were just tasty. They're also really healthy. That's their big appeal. Only 160 calories and a whopping 15 grams of protein in their newest flavor, Cookie Dough Chunk Puff. Right, and that is really fantastic. I love their old cookie dough flavor. Now they've added the chunks into it and the marshmallow stuff into it with their puff flavor. It is absolutely fantastic. I highly recommend anyone who can to try them. And not only are they healthy, they have collagen protein that your body absorbs faster. They're covered in 100% real chocolate. And there's something for everybody. They've got flavors that are more fruit-based, nut-based. This cookie dough one, obviously, for your sweet tooths. You got to try them. Healthy and tasty. What could be better? Go to built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15 when you're checking out, and you'll get 15% off your order. That promo code, again, is LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Thank you, as always, for making Locked On Pacers your first listen today. and every single day. For your second listen, how about Locked On Spurs with Jeff Garcia? I highly doubt he's talking about the same topic. I don't think they're dying to know what would have happened if they kept George Hill over in San Antonio, but hey, gotta plug Jeff Garcia in here when I can over at Locked On Spurs. So let's talk about the Pacers with Kawhi, the part of this that everybody's actually interested. What if the team was a different team? What if they had Kawhi Leonard on this team? The interesting part of this discussion to me is that, look, Kawhi was obviously awesome pretty quick, right? Year three of Kawhi Leonard in the NBA, he starts in 23 playoff games on the champion Spurs. But he wasn't Kawhi then. He was an awesome defender pretty dang quickly in his career. I would say year two, it became pretty clear that he'd be a really good defender. And then in year three, when they won the championship, he was an elite defender. His offensive game, however, didn't really come around till year four. He wasn't even an all-star till year five. He was still a damn good player. I am not trying to minimize what he was early in his career, but he also had like Tim Duncan and the, you know, the beautiful game Spurs around him to not need to be an offensive threat. He was a damn good player, but not the Kawhi Leonard that everybody knows until about year four or five. And I think that context is important in trying to decipher what if he was a Pacer through this early stretch. And the way this is contextualized is just plug Kawhi Leonard into the team that the Pacers actually had for this stretch of time. You know, rookie Kawhi Leonard is not changing much for the 2011-2012 Pacers. They probably still would have beat the Magic. I really don't think they would have beat the Heat that year, even when the Heat were kind of rockier that season, right? They didn't have a lot of their key role players. They were still figuring out each other in the playoffs. They still made the finals. They were still good. They just weren't as good. Didn't have the thick plot armor quite yet. You know, Kawhi would have helped the Pacers, sure. I mean, they definitely needed more defense on the wings back then. Hilarious to be talking about the Pacers needing defense on the wings. It's an evergreen topic. You know, instead of your Danny Grangers, instead of your, you know, Tyler Hainsborough, Leandro Barbosa, Dante Joneses, whatever, you know, Kawhi Leonard would have been, even as a rookie, a little bit better than those guys defensively. But I think year two and three is where you have to think about how Kawhi's ascent would have overlapped with the peak of what that Pacers era, really, right? Like in 2012-13, I think the 2013-14 Pacers were better, but the 2012-13 Pacers pushed the Heat farther. They were one game away from the finals that year, as everybody knows, pushing that Heat team to seven. You know, that team could have really used him, and that was the year that George Hill officially became a starter, so it's a little different to think about what that team would have looked like because they traded away Collison for Mahinmi. They wouldn't have had, you know, to do that. Who knows what that team would have looked like, who their point guards would have been. You know, they had DJ Augustine then at that point. You know, what kind of would that team have looked like? And that year was interesting, too, because that's the year Danny Granger got hurt and only played in five games. That season did not play in the postseason, right? So that would have also dramatically changed what the Pacers could have looked like, even in that playoff series. But I think Kawhi Leonard year two definitely would have helped the Pacers, I think. But I don't think he is enough of change versus what they actually had at that time to beat the Heat that year. The Heat did end up winning the championship that year. And so while the Pacers were very good that season and, again, pushed the Miami Heat to seven games, I don't think they would have beaten them. And then the following year is where I think things could have changed. Because that 13-14 year when the Spurs themselves actually won the championship, Kawhi Leonard's actual team, had he been on the Pacers, I think that's the year that they could have had their fortunes change a little bit. They lost in six to Miami that year. Do they have Kawhi in the mix? Is that enough to push them over the top? That season, obviously, a very good team. They had Granger for more of the season until they traded him away for Evan Turner, and everything changed that season, really. You know, if you have a Kawhi Leonard, if you have that star, I think that's a season that could have changed more dramatically. They wouldn't have had to trade Danny Granger. You know, their second unit could have been more intact. They had Scola then. You know, that team seems like the team that third-year Kawhi Leonard plus what was already in place could have actually been a threat to do some damage in the postseason, to maybe upset Miami, to maybe beat Miami. Kawhi Leonard's team did beat Miami that season in the NBA Finals. That is the year, I think, that things could have ultimately changed. Bertans is so fascinating to me because he turned out to be good, but he didn't join the NBA until 2016. So he is sort of not helpful in this discussion. But Kawhi, you know, is basically this what if is he good enough or was he good enough early in his career defensively to have the Pacers beat Miami in the postseason in either 2012 or 2013 or 2014? Because I don't think anyone thinks, even with Kawhi, they beat Miami in the second round in 2012. But in 2013, when they take him to seven Even is Kawhi instead of George Hill in that year enough to tip that series scales? I don't think so. But is year three Kawhi, 2013-14 Kawhi Leonard, good enough to tip that scales? 38% three-point shooter, 13 points per game, good rebounder at the time, great steals guy at the time. Again, played 23 playoff games that season, two steals, seven rebounds, two assists, 14 points per game in the postseason, so 42% from three that postseason. He was awesome. Then he was already becoming awesome, and the next season is when he became a super duper star before getting injured in that postseason run. So he, I think, would have been good enough in year three to take the Pacers over the Heat in that series. And so I think he could have been guarding LeBron in those series. You move PG onto someone else, Hibbert's life's a little easier. You don't have to worry about, you know, who's maybe on the court for a last-second LeBron layup if Kawhi Leonard can just guard him or be free-roaming to come help under the basket. So I think he could swing stuff by, let's say, zero games his first year, about 0.75 games his second year, and 1.5 games his third year. So it still probably would not have been a guarantee in year three, but I clearly think that there was enough wiggle room by the end of that, where even with some different sort of sacrifices, where instead of George Hill, you know, maybe DJ Augustine even is the starter. That not a good starter, but enough. I still think they would have had enough firepower to beat this. Now, we have to change gears a little bit because, and I'll talk more about this in the third segment, but if the Pacers had Kawhi, think about what those teams would have had. They would have had Paul George, Danny Granger, Kawhi Leonard, Roy Hibbert, and David West. Someone's got to not start from that crew. Right, that's five players. That's no point guards. And maybe they would have just been fine with that. But that the NBA was way more positional back then. You have to imagine a point guard would have started. And one of those guys would not have started. You could make the argument it could have been David West, although he was very good still then, coming off of two All-Star seasons. The answer probably would have been Danny Granger coming off the bench as that electric threat microwave scorer. But you would have imagined less minutes for all those guys. Hibbert's for sure starting. He was there. Their five at the time, their guy, he was very, very good back then. He changed the NBA with the way he was able to defend around the basket. You know, does that change things? Granger was not really an impact guy at this stage of his career. Injuries were killing what he could be at that stage. Lance was sort of ascending. But even Lance, if Granger's coming off the bench, gets buried a little bit. So a couple factors at play here. Yes, I think they would have done better against the Heat in the third year with Kawhi Leonard. Do they beat the Hawks in the first round? If David West has a lesser role, David West saved the Pacers in that series more than once. He was excellent to get them past Perawantich. I bet you didn't think you'd hear that name today, right? How does that series change if their rotation's a little different, if different guys are in there? You know, that is where this all gets really interesting. And then, part two of what I was thinking about this, could the Pacers have even beaten the Spurs in the finals in 2014, the year I think they could have beaten the Heat if they had Kawhi at his peak, in that championship series, in 2013-14 finals, if they had Kawhi and the Spurs had George Hill? That seems kind of simple. You know, PG, Kawhi, Granger, West, Hibbert, whatever point guard you have, seems really good. If it beats that Heatles team, it's very good. You know who else was really good? The Spurs. The Spurs actually won the championship in 2014. And in 2010-2011, the year before they traded George Hill for Kawhi Leonard, they were 61-21. They won 61 games. That team was filthy good. Young Danny Green, they still had, obviously, Tim Duncan, Ginobili. They had Richard Jefferson still when he wasn't a million years old. Tony Parker, Splitter, Boris Diaw. They were awesome. And they kept getting better through that little part coming up. 50-16 in the lockout year. 58 wins and a trip to the finals in 2012-13. And then obviously 62 wins and the championship in 2013-14. If when they had a young George Hill, they won 61 games. I don't even know if it's fait accompli that, you know, the Pacers could have beat the Heat and then they could have still lost in the finals to that Spurs team. The Spurs smoked the Heat that year. It was a five-game series. That team was unbelievable. Bellinelli, kind of becoming a vet at that time, was on that team as a shooter. All those guys I mentioned earlier were still good. Pacer guy, Corey Joseph, was becoming helpful for that team. Patty Mills had ascended to be helpful for that team, right? A lot of key pieces. That was a dang good Spurs team. There's a reason they ended up winning the championship. That's where this what if actually hinges more to me. Because I get that you you know, as a thinker about how history went, and you can only think about what actually happened. Is the real question I think people are proposing about the what if with the Kawhi trade is, would they have beaten the Heat in the playoffs ever in the early 2010s? I would say, you know, if you just mathematically put odds on all three series, if they kept Kawhi and he ascended the same way he did in his career trajectory that he did in San Antonio, they would probably beat the Heat once of those three tries. That is my mathematical way of hedging that. Do they ever actually win a championship, though? Does it really change their ultimate fortunes? That's where I'm not sure. They would have run into the Spurs in the finals either way. I don't think he's enough to swing the balance in the year that OKC made the finals. So what if the Pacers actually traded for Kawhi Leonard? Do I think they would have made the finals for the second time in franchise history? Yes, I think that is possible. Do I think that they would have won the championship in those series? I don't know that, and I'd be less confident into that. That said, had they had Kawhi, one, odds are that things could have lasted longer than that. Who knows how it would have changed with Paul George's injury. And two, it would have had a lot of other ripple effects on other players on the roster. Let's take a little break and talk about those. Thank you, as always, for making Locked On Pacers your first listen today and every single day. Hey, for your second listen, go check out Locked On NBA. Hear the latest and greatest news and rumors from around the league these days. All right. Let's talk about the ripple effects of this, because it's easy to look at the Pacers era when they were really good, you know, from 2011 through the end of 2014 and say, hey, if they had Kawhi Leonard for the stretch, things would have gone different. And it's fun to do that. And then things become a little dicier. Team USA happens. Paul George breaks his leg. That's where this what if becomes the most interesting to me, because 2014-15 also happens to be the year Kawhi becomes the NBA steals leader, an elite rebounder, a better scorer. 2015-16 is when he becomes an all-star for the first time and is still one for five times in the next six seasons. You know, does that, that is where I think that the what if becomes the most interesting, because you could throw a million hypotheticals at the wall here. But is it possible to me that, you know, one, if they have Kawhi in 2014-15 and he becomes as good as he does, the Pacers don't fall back to 38-44 and miss the playoffs? Like, do they stay good? Do they stay in the picture? And then when PG returns, boom, they're right back to being a title contending team. That's where this what if is the most interesting to me. Because the year after 2014-15, in 2015-16, obviously, Pacers almost win a playoff series in the first round despite not being that good. Paul George comes back from his injury and is an MF, an absolute MF. 23 points a game, 7 rebounds. He was fantastic. Fantastic that season. If that team had the Kawhi Leonard of 2015-16, who just super casually was a 21-7 guy, you know, that team would have been nasty good. And it's impossible to predict what the rest of the roster would have looked like. Like, they had drafted Miles in the offseason before that season. You know, they wouldn't have been bad enough to get him, for example, if they had Kawhi Leonard. Like, at this point, you're so far down the snowball of what the team would have looked like had they had Kawhi that it's impossible to just throw the same players in. Like, they definitely would not have signed Monte Ellis if they still had Kawhi Leonard in the fold. But in general, that's where I think this what if becomes more interesting. As Kawhi goes through restricted free agency and Paul George is still on the team on his max deal, how does that look for the Pacers? Could they have kept going and winning right when the Warriors dynasty was starting to ascend? Could they have been good enough to win that? Because the Kawhi Spurs, look, we only have about a half to talk about it, but the Kawhi Spurs were destroying that Warriors team in that game one before Kawhi got hurt and everything changed in San Antonio. You know, would that have been enough for the Pacers? That's where this what if really gets interesting to me, but it's also far enough in the future, and Paul George's leg injury changed the Pacers' roster and trajectory so much that it's hard to say what their team would have looked like and what the trajectory would have looked like. Let's talk about a couple players who I think would have been impacted in some way had this gone differently, obviously. And a little shout out to the Indianapolis Star, who wrote a piece on this that I used to think about some of these discussions. Number one, I talked about David West, how he helped the Pacers beat the Hawks tremendously in the 2014 playoffs, and obviously still possibly, I think many would consider him the best signing in Pacers free agency history as a multi-time All-Star when they got him in the door. It was very helpful for guiding them to one of their most successful stretches in franchise history. Good player. Hey, do they actually get him if Kawhi stays with the team? Do they actually sign him that summer? Is that a pursuit that Larry Bird decides to make? Or do they just roll with Kawhi, Danny, and Paul as their 2-3-4? That's hard to say, but that is one very interesting tangent to me in this discussion is, hey, if they end up going the route of keeping Kawhi, they pick him at 15 because they want him, do they actually sign David West? You know, they also, I can't even believe that this would be a consideration, but talking about Larry Bird, who drafted this player, right? They had Tyler Hansbrough at that time as well. He was their bench four. You know, does that factor into the decision-making and the thinking at all for the Pacers at the time of, oh, we already have another forward in the mix. We don't need David West. You got Kawhi, PG, Psycho T. We're ready to go. You know, so that is an interesting part of this what-if, is if they do keep Kawhi, do they actually also keep David West or not? I think that's an interesting factor. And if they do, I mentioned this a little bit offhand earlier, someone's got to come off the bench. You'd have Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, David West, Roy Hibbert, Danny Granger, presumably a point guard, Darren Collison for sure the first year. Someone's got to come off the bench. How the heck does that team look? How does that rotation make any sense? Please let me know your thoughts. In the modern NBA, I think that'd be a little easier. Back then, when it wasn't as positionless and threes weren't as prominent, this is pre-Warriors we're talking about, it would have been a little different. And a random aside to David West, if David West never comes, does TJ Warren get psyched and love it here and fall in love with the culture like he did for a little bit there before his injury? You know, not that he never fell out of love with the culture, it just changed, you know, his connection to the franchise. David West and TJ Warren were really tight. Either way, the second thing I want to talk about with players who would have been impacted by Kawhi staying. Does PG want to stay in 2016? I mean, I think this seems obvious, but you know, if they had Kawhi Leonard and they were really good and they had another star, regardless of how stuff went between the 2014 playoffs, his injury, even if he got hurt still, if he came back and they had Kawhi on the team, does PG want to stay? It seems pretty likely, especially if the season he's out and injured is the year that Kawhi can get more touches and ascend the way he did with the Spurs, the way he did throughout his career. You know, if that is something that had happened, like while PG was injured, would he have been more inclined to stay in the summer of 2016? Or excuse me, the summer of 2017, when his contract was 1 year away from being up? I think you got to think it would be. You know, they were one win away from beating Toronto in the postseason the year after that. They got smoked by the Cavs still the following postseason, but they still made it. They were still at least relevant in the discussions. With Kawhi, you got to think they're a top-flight East team at that time. That's enough, perhaps, that could have convinced Paul George to stay. Who knows? I am, again, just guessing and thinking about the rosy side of things, but that's another consideration I thought of for this, is when his contract was getting to the end and the eras changed completely from that 2010s team to the Vic teams and to the Kevin Pritchard era, honestly. Does Bird stick around is another factor here, but does PG want to stay if they have a Kawhi Leonard type on their team? The last guy that I thought about, and this is sort of thinking about two players, but it's really one, Lance Stephenson. And this is sort of tangentially related to Danny Granger as well. But Lance Stephenson, does Lance ever become Lance if Kawhi Leonard is drafted by the Pacers and stays with the Pacers franchise? Because Lance was able to become Lance because there was a role for him. He played with the second unit in that first year that we talked about a lot with George Hill, with, honestly, AJ Price a little bit, with Dante Jones, with Psycho T, with Jeff Ayers. These were the days. Lou Amundsen was in that unit for a little bit. Barbosa, a lot of in and out guys. Either way, Lance was in that group before ascending to becoming a starter when Danny Granger was no longer fitting to be a starter. You know, if Danny Granger's coming off the bench because they get Kawhi, maybe Granger is more effective for longer and never gets hurt, and they don't have to turn to Lance in this discussion, and they can just roll with Granger off the bench, and then Lance never really gets this big role or never gets to start and be this defensive pest and never has his moments against LeBron. And you know, where does Gerald Green fit in this mix as well? Is a funny discussion, since he was sort of the backup in those spots after Granger got hurt. Either way, a lot of long what ifs to say, does Lance become Lance? And I don't mean does Lance become Lance like does Lance become a fringe all-star in 2013-14 like a good player. I mean, does Lance become Lance, the lore, the moments, the goofiness? He's not in those positions as much if he's coming in the second unit, or he's not as well known. There are a lot of ways that things that made Lance Lance, and I think it all kind of went the way it did to make that happen. Had Kawhi been on the team and the rotation been different and his situation been different, development been different, does Lance ever become Lance? I think that's a fun subplot of the Kawhi Leonard trade. There are a lot of ripple effects from this. Those were the players that both between the star piece that I read, shout out to Nat Newell for writing that, and between running through this exercise, that I think were the most impacted. And you could go through a couple more, like, does the Mahinmi trade happen with Dante Jones and Darren Collison? And that's so minor that, you know, I'm not going to spend a ton of time on that. Or, you know, do a bunch of other random guys, like, not have require as much mileage and stick around for longer? Do they even trade Danny Granger for Evan Turner that year if they don't have to if Granger's in a more suitable role. You know, those are some other smaller ones, but those three, you know, they actually signed David West. Does PG want to stay? And does Lance become Lance? Were the three that I thought, wow, you know, those would have been gripping and interesting changes to the Pacers storyline from 2010, 2011 until now. So what if Kawhi Leonard never was traded away by the Pacers? A lot could have been different. If you have any requests for these What If series, let me know. I kind of did one on Vic's injury on a mailbag a few weeks ago. Maybe I'll do a full episode on that. And I have a couple others that I think I could do from my time being old enough to understand basketball and sort of covering the team. But, you know, let's say like 2008 and beyond. If you have any requests or anything you think would be interesting for a show like this, just let me know, either in the comments on YouTube or at Twitter, TEastNBA, right here. So thank you guys a ton for listening. Have a great day, and we will see you tomorrow.